So we are in the seventh chapter of this book. The question here is how to begin. Because we are here, all of us, because we want to move in this spiritual path. We want to move upwards. We want to evolve. We are tired of what we have been doing all our life, and there is a sense of dissatisfaction, incompleteness, that my life is not perfect. And I would like it to better, be better. And that's how the whole evolution happened. Because we were first protozoa, you know, swimming in the ocean. Then we became fish. And then the fish said, I'm tired of living in the water. I need to go out into the land and see what is there. And so the first fish started crawling on the ground, the catfish. And from there, they slowly evolved, you know, to become monkeys. And then monkeys were walking on four legs and animals and jumping from tree to tree. And they said, why am I walking on four legs? Let me stand up and walk on two legs. And that's how the humanoid species evolved. And then as I was walking on two legs, now my two other front legs were now available for me to do things. And that's how humans started making instruments, stones to hunt. Yes, the thumb it changed. And that's how we made instruments to grow. That's how we discovered fire. We built little houses. And from there, of course, human progress started. Now we have gone into space and all. So mankind's journey has always been to evolve, to get better. And so we have now reached, I think, the highest point of material progress. From now on, there will be some progress, but it will be in minor increments. We have pretty much done, and having now achieved that, the question is what next, how to begin. So that is what the literature, spiritual masters tell us, that you need to change the direction of your life. You have lived long enough in this material world chasing material things. So what they say, start. See, what most of us have, what we call as starting problems. Even a car, when it starts, it takes the maximum energy from 0 to 50 or 60. It takes a lot of, after that, it just coasts. Then you can just put it on cruise and it will consume minimum amount of gas. So similarly, our life, we have starting problems where, because I have been always doing things the way, so it seems very difficult to begin. But once we begin and once we have reached a particular spiritual level, then we can coast along that and go. So the question is how to start. And as we have seen, walking, you know, from a child who is crawling, for him to get up or her to get up and walk, it takes a lot of effort. The legs need to be strengthened. She'll fall repeatedly, then she'll hold on to the chair, hold on to the mommy, and finally walk, or even on the bike, the same thing in the beginning. So what they say is that it is easy to talk the talk, but it is difficult to walk the walk. So I have read in the scriptures that this is what I should do. And the scriptures tell us, and we have been reading it ever since we were little, going to the church or temple or mosque or gurdwara and studying and listening. But now it is time to start practicing, start walking, where so far all I have done is talk, and I've listened. I've listened to the teacher, I've listened to the scriptures, and the scriptures and the guru provide the help. So where do I get the help? From the scriptures and from the teachers. So this, like Swami Chinmayananda, we have so much literature by him, we have so many audio and video tapes. The entire Bhagavad Gita that we are studying on Sundays is all by this great master. So having contact with masters is one of the great blessings. It is the blessings of God that we are all here. We must have done some good karmas, and his grace is on us that we are here listening to these beautiful thoughts and talking about it and discussing it. Otherwise, there are so many people out who are watching TV, surfing the net, doing all kinds of things. So I feel so blessed that I am able to share these ideas and learn from all of you, because for me to talk, I have to read this material two or three times. I have to get additional ideas. So this is our God's grace that we are here. And what do we do with? We say start with an honest evaluation. Where am I right now? What is my status? How evolved am I spiritually? How progressed have I done? How much have I read the scriptures? How much have I understood them? How much am I bringing it into practice? So I have to honestly evaluate. And what they say is that at the end of the day, sit back and think, okay, what did I do today? Did I do things that were good for my spiritual growth, or were they things that took me down? So like make a spiritual diary. Okay, in the morning I got up, I did this, at work I did this, I met this person. So that is number one. So have I done anything today for my spiritual improvement or not? So that is the first question I have to answer. Have I done anything for my spiritual growth? Not only every day, but what I recommend is that at the end of each month, on the 30th or the 31st, in this past month, have I come closer to God or am I further away? Have I come closer to my goal or have I gone downwards? So I can either go upwards, be the same, or go downwards. So most of the time we'll say, I have been pretty much the same. But if I have done something concrete, helped somebody, did some service where I was not getting anything in return, did some prayers, you know, surrendered my ego to God, where I have studied the scriptures, where I have meditated, where I have applied this knowledge in my day-to-day life, where I have changed my behavior, how I used to act all these years, and now how am I acting? Am I changing? Am I getting better? And what will happen is the ego will get in the way. The ego will say, why do you want to waste your time? You're doing fine. Everything is good. You're having a good time. You're fine. I mean, what is this? This is for people who are retired, you know, people who are after 65, then you do it. Or it's not, we don't need to do it now. Maybe in a few years, now is the time for me to enjoy, have fun. Now I still have the ability to work. I have the ability to acquire. I have the ability to have fun. So do that. Why are you getting into all these things? You know, so this ego will come in the way, or the ego will say, you are doing fine. You're so good. You're such a kind person. You help others. You are so nice. And you don't need to change. You are fine. So the ego will always resist. Why? Because the ego, the moment I evolve to the spiritual self, the ego becomes less. And what is the ego? I and my. That I am somebody special and I do so much and I don't need. And how does the ego feed upon itself? By acquiring objects. More and more objects, the more I have, the happier I am. The more money I have, the bigger house I have, the better car I have, the more friends I have, the more pleasures I have, the more enjoyment I have, it's better. So the ego fattens itself by acquiring, by possessing, by taking, by wanting. So realize that the ego is the obstacle and the ego is me and my. So slowly change out of me and my to him and his. And that is what I should be. I should be like him and be his. That means I should be what God wants me to be. I should do what will make God happy. And God is not only up outside, but God is within. So the God within me, is that what's going to make me happy? And what do I have to do? I have to go from negative to positive. So from all the things that I have been doing wrong, you honestly evaluate. Do I have anger? Do I have greed? Do I have jealousy? Do I have hatred? Do I have selfishness? Do I have possessiveness? Do I cheat others, lie? Okay, all those. And from there, I have from anger to go to love, from unselfish, from selfish to unselfish, from possessive to sharing. Talking about anger, this man always used to get angry at his wife and he would shout at her and yell at her. And the wife would very quietly, peacefully never fight back, never talk back. So one day he says, look, I get so angry with you all the time and you never say anything. How do you do that? She said, I just clean the toilet bowl. She says, toilet bowl? How does that reduce your anger? She says, I use your toothbrush. So be careful, never get your wife angry. That's how I get over my anger. So each one of us has different ways to accommodate, to understand. So the point is that we have to overcome our anger. We have to overcome our greed, our jealousy, our selfishness. So change our life from negative to positive. So consciously make an effort to improve. And it can only come when I have done an honest evaluation. These are my negatives and this is where I need to improve. And so only I can evaluate. If somebody else, you can ask, okay, what is it that of like, especially, you know, somebody who is close to you, like a spouse or somebody, may be able to honestly judge. In fact, that's what I think I had told last week also, that if it wasn't for marriage, men would go around through life thinking they have no faults. Remember we said that. So a spouse may be able to say, okay, these are the things I can notice, but ultimately I only know myself. What is my deepest thoughts? What is my weaknesses? What is my negativities? And where do we find happiness? We say when subject contacts the object. So I get something. I wanted to eat something and I got it. It gives me happiness. I wanted to buy something and it gives me happiness. Or I wanted to marry somebody and it gave me happiness. And it's very interesting. You know, the same person, oh, I loved her. I loved her so much. And after a few years, I'm ready to divorce. I just can't stand it anymore. I'm tired. And the interesting thing is the person I want to divorce, there is another man. When is he going to divorce her so I can marry her? There is somebody else who loves her. And she also knows that this guy is, things are not going well. So she starts having an affair with somebody else. And so he's just waiting. When will this guy divorce? So one person whom I love so much, I now dislike. But the person whom I dislike, there is somebody else who likes. So situations will change. You know, objects will never give me permanent happiness. That's what they say, that anything that you can see or hear or smell, taste, touch, think, cannot give you permanent happiness. Anything that you can experience. They say, how about heaven? Heaven also I can experience, right? Or somebody is experiencing it right now. Gods are the people in heaven. Even that cannot give me permanent happiness, because they say heaven is a place where you go to enjoy your good deeds. Whatever good deeds you have done on this earth, when you die, you enjoy them in heaven. And once your good deeds are over, you come back. Heaven is not eternal, even though, you know, some faiths believe that, but heaven is not eternal. Heaven is a Hawaii multiplied by 1,000 times. That's all it is. You can enjoy anything you want. You can eat or drink anything you want. You have all the dancers, and all the pleasures and big house and everything. Whatever you want, you will enjoy. But once your karmas are exhausted, you have to come back. Only time you can get eternal happiness is in this life, in human birth. Human birth is very precious. In human birth only you can get eternal happiness, by finding happiness within and becoming one with God. Heaven is just as when you go to Hawaii and you have your credit card, and once it's maxed out, I've spent all the $10,000 on my card, I have to come back because I have no more money and I have no more vacation. So my karmas are exhausted. I have to come back. So similarly, heaven is the same place. So how do I self-evaluate? So they say, of myself, I am nothing. And that you have to decide, that by myself, I am nothing. I cannot do anything without the help of God. Even I'm talking right now, it's God. Even I'm listening, I'm thinking, I'm breathing. All I am is a bundle of vasanas. That's what Swamiji Chinmayananda says. We are a bundle of stinking vasanas, just negative tendencies. I want this, I want that, and just selfishness. And that is why we have taken birth, because we have unfulfilled desires, because of which, so birth, the life has to be reducing these vasanas, reducing these tendencies. And what is this body? This body is also a bundle of stinking flesh. You know, we try so hard to put powder and lotion and perfume and walk, take a bath and feel so good. Next morning when you wake up, same dirt, mouth is smelling so bad, you can't even tolerate your own breath. Your body is stinking. One day you don't take a bath and then nobody wants to be near you. So this body is a bundle of filth. You know, it's just, of course, the body should not be put down. We have to take care of this body, because that's the only instrument I have to realize God. But not too much importance should be given to the body. The body should be kept clean, should be kept healthy. But too much attention to nourishing the body, feeding the body, beautifying the body, sir, plastic surgery, this, the, yeah, exercise, healthy, you know, we have to eat well, look well, you know, be clean. But not too much time should be spent in the body. And also the mind and intellect, my emotions are changing, my intellect ideas are changing. So whatever I am is that God, that infinite, that consciousness. Everything else is nothing. Everything by itself has no value. The body you're going to leave here, it's going to perish. The mind and intellect is changing. My vasanas are my negative tendencies. Nothing is good. Only thing good is divinity, is God within me. And that alone is important. Aside from that, of myself, I am nothing. So that one has to be convinced. Again, not in a negative way, not that I am useless, I am worthless, I am not good. I am a divine creature because God is in me. But whatever I have is God. That alone is real. So that's what they say, that be, do honestly evaluate yourself and watch this world like a play, and watch even my day like a play. Okay, how was my day? Like you are watching a play or you are watching a movie. You don't get too involved in the movie. I mean, if you do, then it's a problem, because I get, some people get so involved when the heroine is crying, then they start crying. And when the hero is beating the villain, then I'm happy. Wow, wow. And the happy ending, I'm happy. But if the hero and heroine die at the end, then we say, oh, sad. That was a sad ending. So we get so attached. But ultimately, it's just some director sitting somewhere and some writer had written this play and then made a movie out of it. The actor and villain actually are the best of friends. But in the movie, you know, they beat each other and it's all fake. So similarly, this world is like a play. It's like a movie. Watch it like a play. Don't get too attached. And my life is also, watch it like a play and just say, okay, this is happening. That's fine. But do not get too attached to things and beings and do not get too affected by that. So how do we start? They say start now, now itself. Right now, you have to begin your journey. You cannot say, 5 years from now, I will begin. You have to begin right now. And you have to understand the scriptures and grow out of, just as a seed becomes a plant, and then a plant becomes a tree, and then the tree gives fruits, beautiful mangoes and beautiful sweet fruits. And then from that, another tree grows, another, you know, the seed falls, another tree grows. So similarly, I have to grow out of my hang-ups. I have to grow out of my negativities, out of my frustrations, and grow and become just as a tree just gives fruit to everybody without expecting anything back. In the beginning, you have to give it a little fertilizer and water. After that, the tree takes up. So similarly, the scriptures and the guru are like the gardener, are like the fertilizer, are like that water that helps me to grow and nourish. And then once I have grown, then I should become an object of sharing to others. Just as the tree gives us fruit, So my life should be a life of service, a life of giving, a life of sharing, and creating goodness among others. So that is the spiritual journey, is from negative to positive, from nothing to everything. Because everything is who? God. So I have to grow from nothing to everything. And everything is that divinity, which is everything. All the plants, all the birds, all the animals, fish, everything is that God. The chairs, the tables. So I am also that everything. I am not nothing, because I am, because God is in me. So how can I be nothing? Nothing is my vasanas, my body, my mind, my intellect, my perceiver, feeler, and thinker. The objects, emotions, thoughts that I have, those are all worth nothing. Ultimately, only thing important is that divinity, that me. And as we said, you have to detach. Detach from everything. Detach from objects. Detach from my emotions. Detach from my ideas. Detach does not mean not love. See, that people always think, does that mean that from today onward, I'm going to go home and tell my wife, okay, I'm detached, I'm going? No, we don't have to do that. You have to do your duties. See, detachment does not mean not doing my duties. Whatever duties I have assigned in this world, whether I'm a man or a woman, whether I'm a householder, whether I'm a businessman, whether I'm a doctor or an engineer, whether I'm a... So my duties towards my family, my duties towards my work, my duties towards society, I have to do. And based on my age, my duties might change. As a student, my duty was to study. And then as a householder, it is my job to take care of my children and educate them and make sure they turn out to be good citizens. As I get older and I'm approaching retirement age, I have to slowly withdraw from the world and now spend more time thinking about God and moving towards God. And slowly, once the children are gone and they have been educated, I no longer have to hold on to them. Let them live their life. They have already moved on. And I have now I have to turn my attention to God and to who I am and let me grow. So what we have to do is, where is happiness? Where is happiness? How do I find happiness? And that is, answer comes in scriptures, in Vedanta, where it says that happiness ultimately is within. Happiness is not in objects, is not in people, is not in things. But a person who is spiritually evolved, it's not that he doesn't love. He loves not only, he loves the whole world, because everything is me. So that his ambit of love increases. And love is not selfish love as to what I can get, but what I can give. So the person, detachment does not mean not loving. Detachment means not looking for happiness in that. I will get temporary happiness, no doubt. I will get temporary happiness in objects, things. But if I want permanent happiness, it's not going to be in temporary things. So that is the final goal, that look for what is permanent. Look for what is permanent in the world and look for what is permanent in myself. So they say a spiritual seeker is hard upon himself and soft for others. So you be hard upon yourself. Hard does not mean that you criticize yourself or whip yourself, but be firm. Okay, these are my shortcomings. I need to improve. And do that completely ruthlessly. I have to eliminate my negativity. So I do that. So I'm hard upon myself, but I'm soft for others. So if you look at the lives of saints, they were so upon themselves, they were very firm that I have to improve, I have to get better, I have to remove my negativities. But for others, just pure love. Look at the life of Jesus, look at the life of all saints, Guru Nanak, Shankaracharya, Mirabai, Narasimha Mehta, all these wonderful saints, Saint Francis. they were very disciplined in their own life. Discipline is very important. But for others, they were just loving, compassionate, kind. So that is the essence of today's verse, that how to begin and where to begin and start. And once you start, then God will himself, the total consciousness will themselves guide you. And you will notice that once you start on the journey, God is your friend, God is your support. And that is the ultimate. They say you take one step towards him, he will take 100 steps towards you. That is the truth. So decide that from today onward, this is my life, this is my journey, and this is what I want to do. And begin. And you will find that your path will be, it will be like there will be roses along your path. And the more you evolve on this path, the more you will get happiness. It's not that you will be miserable. In the beginning, the ego will say, you know, all these things I enjoy by giving up will be more miserable. No. When you give up for something higher, you will be happier. You will be much happier because you have to grow out of it. It's like a boy, you know, he's so attached to his toy truck and his little, you know, toys, and he's playing all the time. But then when he gets a real car, when he turns 16, does he worry about the toy truck? He has grown out of it. So similarly, you and I have to grow out of our attachments to the absolute, the higher. And that is the message. And we have to start now, start today itself. Not next week, next month, next year, or next lifetime. See, Hindus even have this wonderful thing. Oh, we have not this life, I'll do it. This life, I can't do it. Next life, nothing. This life is right now. We don't know where I'll be next life. First of all, whether there is next life, we don't know. And if there is, will I be a mosquito next life, or a monkey, or a buffalo? I don't know. So do it right now. Thank you for listening. Any questions, any comments?
Without first saying yes to God.
Yes.
You know, and when you start moving that away, you know, this stuff becomes insignificant. You know, it's, you don't have to say no. It's like, I don't even think about it. You know, I'm not interested. And it's like the meditation, the yoga, the teaching, you know, it's like there's been a slight bit of movement closer to the light, and that feels really good.
Yes. That's the answer exactly.
Yes.
It feels good because once you have, see, what happens is that when we have any strong habit or tendency, it takes over us. Whole morning to night, that's all I'm thinking. How can I acquire that? How can I possess it? And it can be anything. It can be drugs. It can be alcohol. It can be any. For an alcoholic, it's like, okay, when is it going to be 5 o'clock so I can go home and then and open the bottle? And so it takes over your whole life. For the drug addict, it's like, how can I collect the money for the next fix? Because he needs it. He needs it. He has, because that gives him so much joy. And so he'll do anything. He'll lie, he'll cheat, he'll steal, he'll hurt his family, hurt his near and dear to get his next fix. So all these addictions have a very powerful hold on us, because it is for many, many years we have been accumulating, and some people say even many lifetimes. So to give it up is not easy, and the ego will fight it. Ego will say, come on, you know, this is only one thing we are enjoying. Everything else is okay. This one joy also you want to take away. And so the ego will fight it. But as you realize that what it is doing is this particular habit is pulling me downwards, where my whole thinking revolves around that, and my whole life is revolved around getting that object of my desire. And then you realize how it has controlled my life all these years, and then you say it's enough is enough. And once you decide that this is it, then slowly the progress will be slow. It's not going to happen overnight, but gradually Once you are getting away and becoming a witness and watching how this is taking me over and say, am I so useless? Am I such a victim? You know, but I am a human being. I am a divine creature. And why am I a slave to these tendencies? So slowly, as you go closer to the truth and you evolve and you realize that it's not that important. I can give it up. How did I develop the habit? By myself. Like a person didn't grow up using drugs, right? He went and bought marijuana. Then from marijuana, he went to heroin and then he started injecting. So initially, he was not born using drugs, but he developed the habit. So similarly, all other tendencies, all other habits, we develop. So if I have developed, I can give it up. So that's number one. And number two, as you evolve, you will get an inner joy, inner peace. Okay, I accomplished. I don't have to die with this habit. I have finally overcome. And once you overcome that, then you only can get closer to the truth. As you get closer to the truth, it helps you overcome. And as you overcome, it feeds upon itself. Then the divine power supports you. God will support you. And that's why, you know, this knowledge will support you. And so we have to ask for his help. You can say, I cannot do it alone, God. I need your help. And so with the help of the scriptures, with the help of the knowledge, and with the help of God, we can overcome. But the reward is so much more. Once you have overcome that, and then you say, look how I was a slave to that. And then you will see that inner joy, that inner peace. So the slavery is real. But it can be overcome. We are not helpless victims of this habit, but I can overcome this habit. So I'm not a slave. I'm not a victim. I'm a human being. I am intelligent. And how did I let myself become to that level? So that's what the scriptures point out to us. So honest evaluation is very important.